Well, we want to thank you for being with us today. We're delighted that you could be here and worship at Grace Bible Church. We're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're looking at, actually, this morning, the prayer of the Apostle Paul for these believers as he closes off a section. And so we have looked at and considered the Apostle's command or exhortation there in verse 15 last time. And now we want to consider his prayer. So let's take our Bibles. I'll read verses 13 through 17 this morning in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. And it was for this He called you. This is our scripture memory verse, isn't it? And it was for this He called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which were taught, which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of His word. And let's take a few minutes to consider the Apostle Paul's prayer. There's a lot of things we can learn about the Apostle Paul's prayer and how he prays for believers. Bear in mind that the Thessalonian church is only a few months old. They're like baby believers. They have come to faith in the gospel, and they might be a year old at this time, but not too many months ago, they were ushered in the kingdom. They were transferred from death and into life because of, as it says in our verse here, that it was for this He called you through our gospel. So as the Apostle Paul and his team of evangelists went, like Craig and Brenda will be going to Spain there, and they shared the gospel, and they were ushered in, they were called by God, they passed out of death and into life. And the Apostle Paul makes the point here that you were passed out of death and into life that you might gain or possess the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a huge thing, and it carries with it a weight of a lot of things. But this morning, I want to speak to you about the Apostle Paul's prayer and in regard to what it means to be adorned by the grace of God. Because that's his purpose for us. That's why he called, according to the Apostle Paul, these believers. And they're probably feeling differently, right? Because they're being persecuted. Things aren't going well. And any of those evangelists out there that would have gone and said, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, they might just have said, now, wait a second here. This persecution, this affliction and suffering that we have gone undergone isn't just the gospel is not simply a pursuit of personal happiness. For these believers, it was very serious business and very challenging to hold to the faith of the gospel in troubled times. So the Apostle Paul wanted them to know the balance of that, that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, when His kingdom will come, then they will be known for who they are. And they will be adorned with Him. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He before has ordained for you to walk in them. And therefore, living in a fallen world, there's going to be conflict. And so it was with these believers. But the Apostle Paul wanted them to know that it's God's intention and His calling for you to possess the glory of Jesus Christ, for you to be adorned in the glory of Christ's righteousness. And that's a wonderful thing for us, isn't it? Because we don't strive for Christ's righteousness. We don't obtain Christ's righteousness by our works or by the law or by something, by the energy of the flesh that we can obtain it. But by the grace of God, He has made provision through faith in the grace that was supplied in Jesus Christ for us to know the fullness of what He's speaking of here as to being adorned in the grace and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I would prefer His to mine. You know, and for every believer, as the Holy Spirit convicts and brings us to that place, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit, we become convicted of sin and we realize, hey, my righteousness is insufficient. There's nothing that I can do to obtain to the holy perfections of God. Therefore, He must be my salvation. And so our trust is in Him, and not only is our trust in that initial salvation, but our trust should daily be in the adornment of His righteousness by grace through faith in Him. Right? Now, we're all on the same page on that, but we're to be adorned in the glory of Jesus Christ. That's what we're called for. And that's pretty strenuous. That's not going to be an easy task for us, is it? In fact, it'll be an impossible task. And that's the point, is that it was necessary for Christ to die. It was necessary for Him to do that work in order that we might be adorned in that grace which comes but through faith in the One who is able to supply what we could not. So the Apostle Paul's prayer here, he prays for comfort and for stability for believers. And this is a huge thing and something that's always needful for us. But let's look at our verse here, verse 16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace. And we'll stop there, but let's think about it for just a second. In your notes there, the Apostle Paul's prayer is that these believers who are under some very serious persecution might experience comfort and might know stability in those troubled times under persecution. So, first of all, I want to make the point that according to the Apostle Paul's prayer here and what we can gather from Scripture, something that's very clear, is that our adornment is not only based upon grace, but it's based upon the knowledge of God. You notice that in the Apostle Paul's prayer here, he moves to, first of all, to who God is. And why does he do that? Because there are a lot of things that could be addressed, but God is our source, isn't He? When we think about prayer and the power of prayer, the necessity of prayer for God's people, it's essential for us to understand those concepts, the things that the Lord Jesus taught us, that I am the vine and you are the branches. Why did He say that? Because life comes from Him. He is the source. So the Apostle Paul, in prayer, in receiving grace for believers, and why we should pray for one another, and why we should pray for Craig and Brenda, and why we should pray for our missionaries who are in Turkey and other places in the world, and that beautiful church there in Laon, or those two churches that are there in Laon, that we've come to know and love, is because it is God's grace. He is the source. And that life must come from Him, for He is our Savior. It can come from no other source. So let's look, if you'll check your notes there. Number one, prayer is a wish for something impossible, made possible depending upon our source. Now, as believers, we believe that with God all things are possible, right? We believe that, and yet we don't believe it daily, right? Because we have all of these inconsistencies in our life that say, well, I don't really believe God, with God all things is possible. But we know from God's Word, and we know from the conviction and the work of God's sanctifying Spirit in our hearts, that with God all things are possible. He's not restrained by physical law. The laws of physics don't mean anything to God. He created them, and He can break them. God can do anything. There is nothing that limits Him. And so He's our source. Our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father are the source. Now, it's interesting that the verbs that are used here, they're voluntative optative, and that means that there is a possibility. It's like an expression of a wish. A prayer is the expression of there's the possibility that by God's grace and according to His sovereignty, He will do these things. So the Apostle Paul is expressing what a prayer expresses, that He who is all-sufficient will supply. He who can make possible that which is impossible. He is our source. Everything depends upon Him that has any meaning or significance in this life, in this world that God called us to walk in. And the fullness of life and joy is in Him. Being adorned in His glory, adorned in the grace of God, should be the quest of every believer's heart. And I pray to God, I pray that by His mercy, that He might give us at Grace Bible Church such a fervor for just this one thing, to be adorned in the glory of Christ's righteousness by faith. No dependence on self-righteousness, rejecting, putting aside that, which the Apostle Paul said, I put no confidence in the flesh. I mean, he was appalled by all attempts of the flesh to attain to that which only Christ could attain for us. The life, the glory, the righteousness which comes by faith in that which has been imputed from the account of Jesus Christ to your account, the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Jesus Christ for you. And so prayer is a wish for that which is impossible, because it's impossible in the sense that our flesh can never attain to it. But it is at the same point is possible because the source, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God, our Heavenly Father, is able to do what we cannot do for ourselves. And so, therefore, we are dependent people. Christianity is not a crutch. It is far greater than a crutch. It is your life. It flows through Jesus Christ. And your connection to Him determines whether there's life flowing through you or dusty, dry deadness in your spiritual walk. Okay, so go back to your notes there. Number two, prayer is confident dependence upon our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to make the point here. It says, our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father. Okay, so prayer is our confidence upon them. The point is that our adornment is based upon the knowledge of God. It's based upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It's based upon knowing our Heavenly Father, knowing that He is our provider, Jehovah Jireh. And Craig just mentioned that they're going to Spain and it's expensive over there. And there are those times where you trust in the Lord with all your heart. And humanly speaking, the figures don't come together. And yet, because of our knowledge of our loving Heavenly Father and God, we step out by faith. Because it's not dependent upon whether we figure out things can work right or not. It's dependent upon trusting in Him who is able. Prayer is confident dependence upon our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Heavenly Father who is our provider. And so I'm saying this directly to those of you that may be a little bit concerned and worried about how your family is going to be taken care of or the downturn in the economy and all that it means and all the troubles that we have in our country and what that could mean. And you know, if we just get in the mode and start thinking about all the possibilities of all the bad things that can happen and all the scary things that are out there, we can get really freaked out there. But we want to look to our loving Heavenly Father, the one who has been our faithful provider. Have you gone hungry? Have you gone without? Has He not been there for His people? Have you found them faithless in the past? Well, he's got a good running record in my life. And so I don't want to dishonor God by not trusting him with my future. And so we will trust and he will supply and we will seek first his kingdom. And all of these things will be added unto us. So if you're here with a troubled heart this morning and worried, here's our source. Knowledge of God takes it all away. And isn't it much better to live that way? Haven't you gone through that before and talked about this before? But, you go through that, start worrying about some type of scenario of something that's going to happen in the future that might happen. And you get all worked up and you're worried and you fret for weeks and weeks. And, of course, God takes care of it. And then you look back on it and say, why did I worry? What a fruitless thing to do. And so the Scripture tells us, be anxious for nothing. Don't take these concerns upon yourself. Cast your burdens to the Lord, for He cares for you. And live that way. For crying out loud, why are we going to wake up worrying day in and day out when God is God and Christ is seated on the throne by our Heavenly Father, ever as our intercessor, forever and ever as our intercessor, and we worry? And He is God, Almighty God, who rules in heaven. The earth is His footstool. He is our great God, as we sang about. And so as we trust in these things, we should rejoice and we should be free from worry. So if you're worried right now because of something that's going on with finances or your future or those things, I'm exhorting you. And the basis of God's Word and on the reality of knowing your God, that He, seated on the throne, has taken care of everything for you and will take care of everything for you. And therefore, do not worry and do not fret, but put your trust in Almighty God. Look at our notes again. And the Lord Jesus Christ, our prayer is confident dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who, and notice what Paul says, because he uses different phrases here, and at times he said, the Lord Jesus Christ, but he wants to make the point that it's our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we possess Him. We possess the Lord Jesus Christ. He's ours. That's astounding. God came in the flesh. He is our Lord Jesus Christ. We possess the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's heavy stuff. I mean, those are things we can meditate on and think about for many hours. And we should. Our thoughts should often go here. He's our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you love Him? Don't you love the Lord Jesus? There's no one like Him. There's simply no one like the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has made Himself known to us. We're privileged people. We're children of God, for crying out loud. And yet we walk around sometimes mopey and fearful. And why? Why would we, if our meditations are here? He's our Lord Jesus Christ. No, it's just phenomenal. But He is the one. He is our source that when we cry to, when we utter our prayer to Him, there is one who is loving and compassionate and generous and kind and gracious and willing to sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice for you. He's yours. You possess Him. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's identified, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is identified as our consolation. I love it. We sang about that this morning, Steve, the hymn. You know, we sang about the consolation of Israel. And Simeon spoke about, there in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke 2:25, it was Simeon that spoke of that it was given a prayer that he would see the consolation of Israel. Well, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. That's the one, the consolation of Israel, the one who brings comfort, the one who brings hope, the one who brings encouragement, That's our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that we pray to. The Apostle Paul uttered his words. And it is also, in your notes again, our Lord Jesus Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. I gave you some passages there. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who loves us, we possess him, and he possesses us. You are his treasure. You are his workmanship. In your notes again, our prayer is confident dependence upon God our Father. Okay, it's God the Father who is our Father. Think about it. He's your provider. My father was a good provider. Carlton Davis did well for his family. There wasn't anything that he wouldn't do. He worked. Sometimes I know of him driving 400 miles a day at times as a contract pumper in West Texas to take care of his family. He provided for us. And he made sure that we had clothes on our back and food on the table. He was a good provider. But ultimately, our Heavenly Father provides for us. Think about it. That's what a father is. My father was a good model of it. It's a good demonstration. But God, our Heavenly Father, lacks no resource for you. He has supplied everything. He is able to supply everything. And so, therefore, we trust and we look and we ask. Scripture says we have not because we ask not. And God is there to care for his children. He will care for you. And that doesn't mean that bad things aren't going to happen. And that's the context of what we're saying. These believers were persecuted. They were suffering under affliction and hardship. But every good thing comes from our Father's hand. And he has promised to supply. And I believe him. I believe that he'll take care of his people. He has loved us. In your notes again, he has loved us, having elected us and called us. If you look again at verse 16, it is God our Father, the one who has loved us. So he has loved us. And if we take the context, we go back to verse 13 there. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord. Remember, it contrasts with those who are perishing. These are those who are beloved by the Lord. He says, we should always give thanks to you because God has elected you. He has chosen you from the beginning. Okay? And you go to Ephesians chapter 1, before the worlds were created, before anything physical that we know of the physical universe existed, God chose you. He loved you. Beloved of God. Okay? Can you hear? This is his word. And he speaks of you as the beloved of God. He speaks of you as having been chosen before the foundation of the world. Unto salvation. Unto this that we celebrate this morning, that we sing about, that we enjoy in regard to being adorned by the glory, the grace of God and the salvation that has come through Jesus Christ. We have reason to rejoice. We have beautiful weather. We had a beautiful Thanksgiving. We had a great time with family, a wonderful time with friends. We get to see you this morning. But God is here. Our Lord Jesus Christ, God our Father, is here. He's in our presence. And he's here because Christ was willing to come and pay the price on the cross of Calvary and die for our sin. Verse 14 there says, and it was for this he called you through our gospel that you might gain the glory. And it was this gaining the glory. God has loved us. He has elected us. He has called us. Scripture says that when they respond through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, when that response came to the gospel, the sanctifying work of the Spirit convicted you of sin, and you became aware, I am fallen and separated from God, and in need of salvation. And Jesus Christ is God's offer. This word of the gospel that the Apostle Paul gave was a call, an effective call, that the Holy Spirit convicting of sin, bringing to a knowledge of our sinfulness and need for salvation, sin of righteousness and of the judgment to come, and that sanctifying work, there was a response in our hearts through faith, trusting in Jesus Christ, and so He called us. We were passed from death and into life, into the salvation that Christ alone could bring. Having loved us, He elected us and called us. Look in your notes. He desires that we be adorned in the glory of Christ, adorned by His glory. So this should be our quest. It should be what we think about. What is being adorned in the glory of Christ's righteousness mean when I go to work on Monday morning? What does it mean when I go to school? What does it mean when I do that which I do in secret that nobody else sees? What does it mean to be adorned by the glory of Jesus Christ and His righteousness? There's integrity there required, right? Because He who is perfect is always looking on us. And it does matter when no one is watching whether that integrity and that honesty and the character of Jesus Christ shines forth or not in your life. And so if you're given to doing things behind people's back and in secret, quit doing it, because you're not doing anything in secret. Our Lord Jesus Christ sees it all. And you are to be adorned in His glory, adorned in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And it matters. It matters more than you know. And I'm quite sure that the things done in secret and the things that are the hidden motives of the heart matter more, quite much more than what we realize this morning. God cares about inner integrity. That's why the gospel was ordained and planned to transform us from the inside out. It's necessary. There was not any other way or process that could be done. We can't reform ourselves. And so being adorned in His glory means that there's a transforming process that takes place in our life by the gospel of Jesus Christ. He loved us. He elected us. He adorned us in His glory. Secondly, He grants. Look, notice that it says that God our Father grants, or He gives to us, eternal comfort. Okay? And by that we simply mean in your notes there, relief and encouragement. He gives to us relief. Again, in the context of the Thessalonian believers, under persecution, hardship, things aren't going well. And some of them, no doubt, were depressed. They were confused about the teaching about the day of the Lord there in chapter 2. And Paul was trying to help them out with those things. But he's praying. He's asking our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ Himself that they might provide that eternal relief and an encouragement. So the idea of this word in the Greek here, parakaleo, is that we are given relief or encouragement, consolation. And I like that word, consolation. But all of them, these words, English words, translate for this concept that God supplies eternal relief. He supplies eternal encouragement and consolation for those that are in need. And secondly, in your notes there, He grants a confident expectation of good, hope for goodness, a hope for good. And Christians, believers, should always have a hope for good. God has given to you, and you should possess a confident expectation of a good future, of things good. And I'm saying this again in the context of persecution for these believers. So don't get imbalanced about the perspective on Scripture and what it means to live in a fallen world and what our longing is for the hope of the blessed hope of the coming of our Lord Jesus. You know, we have a bright future, but there's a lot of work, a lot of things to be done here. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can write them and do that work. And He wants to do some of that work through us. That's what we're called to. And that's why we've been adorned by His glory, to proclaim His greatness, to proclaim these things. But we should have confident expectation. Number three in your notes, prayer expresses faith in God's grace alone. Okay, it's on God's grace alone, who will empty us of all self-righteousness. Okay, there in your notes. It is God's grace, notice that it says, who gives to you eternal consolation and good hope through or by grace. It is by God's grace that we are given these precious gifts. So prayer expresses faith in God's grace alone, who will empty us of all self-righteousness. Okay, much of the tribulation that the Thessalonian believers were going through is because of the same reasons that some of us go through tribulation. God has to shake the foundation and shake the roots to move us from trusting in self to trusting in Him alone, doesn't He? Because it's our nature to trust in the flesh, in the strength of the flesh, or in our wisdom, or in some way to try to work out things on our own. And Christ has taught us and is teaching us and wants for us to understand that it is dependence and drawing life from Him. It is being dependent upon Him is where our salvation comes from. So we're to be emptied of all self-righteousness, make futile all attempts to save ourselves. That's bad hope, right? Futile attempts to save yourself, to produce for yourself what you think is your reality of your life is going to end up in bad hope, futility. And so sometimes God, in order to shift you there from depending upon yourself, from striving after your own salvation, your own self-righteousness, your own way of living life, He shakes your life to the very foundation in order that you can learn to trust in Him. Because that's where all of life stems from. He is our source. You are to be adorned by grace, emptied of self-righteousness, making every futile attempt, putting it aside in order. And I love what Philippians chapter 3, just write these verses down, Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Apostle Paul said, I might gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which comes through faith in Him, a righteousness which comes through God on the basis of faith. That's what we need. That's what we need to gain His righteousness, to gain the person of Jesus Christ. In order for that, we need to know Him. He needs to be our source. He needs to be the air that we breathe and the life that we live. The Lord Jesus wants you. He wants to possess you. And He wants for you to possess the glory that you were created for. And the only way that you can attain that is to be in right relationship with Him. That's all that there is. It's the bottom, very simple line. You can go on and strive through life if you want, rebelling against God and trying to get your own way. And God will bring you to your knees if He loves you. And He will make a wreck out of all that you attempt to do until you learn to submit to Him. Submit to His Word. Submit to His lordship and leadership in your life. He rightfully deserves the place. Gain and be adorned in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I love the way the Apostle Paul says it. He says later, that I might attain that to which I have been attained. He was possessed in order that He might possess. He was adorned in order that He might attain that adornment. And God intends for God's people to know His grace. Let's move on. Verse 17. And here's the prayer. We want to come to the prayer that Paul prays for. He prays that you might be comforted. Are you troubled or afflicted this morning? Are you exhausted in battle? Are you frustrated in God's service? Perhaps some of these are characteristic of our lives. These things are struggles that we carried in this morning. But the Apostle Paul is praying for that very thing for these believers. And this is quite a message for God's people. Because in times of discouragement, God wants us to be encouraged. The Apostle Paul wanted for these believers to be encouraged. He wanted for them to know the relief that can be found in God's presence. He wanted them to know the consolation of Israel. Consolation that came through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look in your notes. Paul prays for comfort. Okay? And in your notes there, the first one, comfort for the persecuted and afflicted. Okay? Second one, security as for the ground of growth. You know, it's so important. And I long for those that carry the name of Christ that are caught in a works type of environment, a church that holds to works and that type of thing. You see, God wants for there to be a fertile ground of growth. In order for that to happen, you need to know who you are with Him and who He is with you. And I was thinking of an example of this. There was a little girl that was in a foster family there when I was a youth pastor, my first ministry there out in West Texas. And this little girl had been through horrible things. I mean, it was really bad. And there were things broken inside her. I mean, it was so bad. But I remember, and she really needed some very strong, helpful security. And as a foster child, she just didn't have it. And I can remember at one point when they were removing this foster child from this particular foster home, and it was heartbreaking because there's an insecurity of not belonging. There's an insecurity of not knowing who you are as a little 10-year-old kid that is heartbreaking. And God understands. He knows you to the core. And He knows that we need to belong, that we need to know who we are. We need family. We need that relationship with Him. And He has supplied it in Jesus Christ. There has to be, and this is the point, security for the ground of growth. And man, when that little girl was being taken from this foster home and shuffled to another one, and she didn't know what was going on, there was so much insecurity and instability there. And Paul didn't want this instability in these believers. And we don't want it. And I'm telling you this morning that you are secure in Jesus Christ if you've put your trust in Him. His word is sure, it's good and true. He will do what He said He will do, and you can depend upon Him. And you have security in Him, and therefore there's ground for you to move where you are this morning to where He needs for you to be, where He wants for you to be. You have purpose, you have meaning, you have family in the body of Christ. And you have a Lord who is a Lord of compassion, one who loved you enough to die for you. And so your security is in Him, and He will not fail you. It is a sure foundation. It is true. It is love eternal. It is beyond the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of anything that we can understand and comprehend. The love of God is our security. We are secure in Him. Thirdly, a consolation at God's side. It's a beautiful picture, but this word, parakaleo, means to call, and para means beside, call beside, or in other words, to call to one side. And so you can almost see a heavenly father embracing his child, calling him to his side. This is what Paul's praying for these believers, that they might be enfolded in the comfort of God's presence, enfolded in the comfort of His mercies, in the comfort of His counsel, knowing someone that knows everything. What do I do? Well, there's your Heavenly Father in consolation, pulling you beside his side. Parakaleso. Parakaleo. There in his presence, receiving the counsel of a loving Heavenly Father by his side. To be called by his side. Consolation. Those are beautiful words. And the next word is encouragement for a proper mental attitude. Have you ever noticed how people respond to praise? You know, if we just take a demonstration, you can see it almost anywhere, anytime. But, you know, you can look at someone that's beaten down. Maybe it's a little child here. Maybe it's on a baseball team. And you got one that's receiving constant criticism. And you got one that with probably a lot less ability that's getting constant encouragement and proper praise. And, man, they blossom, you know. And over here, there's just a slow, horrible, dying death. The drudgery of constant criticism and the difference between that encouragement that comes from those who know properly how to praise, not to build egos and to make and building self, but for the proper praise and glory of Christ. Giving encouragement and praise where it belongs. And it's an important, essential thing that Paul prays for. Number two, constancy. He prays that they might be strengthened in every good work. And we need stability under hardship. That's the next thing in your notes there, stability under hardship. Let's go through these moving on here. Strength for labor. This word is kind of like some words have a lot of different facets. Well, It can carry with it the idea of strength in every good work. It can, but it really has the nuance of having constancy or being stable. And so, just like he gives the command, you know, hold fast, hold firm, and stand fast and hold firm to the word. Here in this prayer, he's praying the same thing, that they would have that and receive that stability, that firmness. And that strength for their labor. Because labor in the Christian life in a fallen world is difficult. So being adorned by His grace, He prays that, number one, that they would receive there in verse 15, that they would live by God's Word. And here, He's praying that they might persevere by God's grace and praying that that strength would be supplied to them. And so, hold firm, stand fast. And then he prays, God, give them that stability. Give them that comfort and consolation. In your notes again, what we're looking at is aggressive activity in every good work. So what he means in every work and word is that what God has called you to, he's going to supply this strength. And Paul is praying, and we should pray for one another, that God will supply the strength in your area of service, how you serve the Lord, that God is supplying that strength in every work that you do, in every matter of service. Because Christian work can get tiring, can it? I mean, we can wear ourselves out serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And serving the body of Christ. And work sometimes gets, it's work, you know, it sometimes gets hard and physically and emotionally draining. But God will supply, and He wants us to be aggressive in our activity by faith, knowing that fullness of Him working through us. Next one, bold determination in every good spoken word. So good work, good spoken words, bold determination to speak. The gospel, the truth, aggressive activity in every good work, that's the Christian life. God wants those things for us. Ephesians 1:3 says that bless us. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Okay? With every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. 2 Peter 1:3 says God has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. You have no lack of supply. God has supplied. And Paul's praying for that supply. Sometimes we just need to draw from our heavenly bank account, don't we? God, I know that I'm tired. I know that that this is difficult. But you are able to do all things. And your grace is sufficient and strength is sufficient for me. Number three, there's a combination of this consolation. It's interesting that he uses a coordinating conjunction between this comfort and constancy or strength for every word and work. And there's a purpose for it. And in your notes there, comfort in the Lord is... Okay, we have some problem with the... Can you advance that for us? Okay, that's it. That was it, I'm sorry. Comfort and constancy. I thought we were missing that. There's comfort in the Lord, and it equals constancy in His service. One works hand in hand, right? As we're stable in Christ, as we're standing firm, then we're holding those. As we're standing fast, we hold firm those things that are true from His Word. Comfort in the Lord equals constancy in His service, and it produces affection also in our hearts. Notice that He addresses the heart here. From the heart flows our affection, the things that we love, the things that we desire. And God produces those things within our life. You'll notice that in verse 12 of 2 Thessalonians, it says that they took pleasure in wickedness. Well, God causes us to take pleasure in righteousness. He causes us to take pleasure in His work and to have affection for eternal things and for things that were meant and we were designed to have affection for. And those are the things that we need. Spurgeon gave a good illustration of this combination between work and comfort. And he said, when we were little, we used to go and get up in the freezing morning there in England. My brothers, we'd stand by the fire. And we would be warming, trying to get warm, and even the fire, nothing could warm us because it was morning and we were cold and our bodies were not adjusting. And he says, then our father would come in and he would say, get out there and cut that lumber. And they had to go do their chores. And so they stepped out and they began their activity. And as they began their activity, they came back in and they were plenty warm. And this is kind of a picture of how our comfort in Christ goes hand in hand with His desire for our labor, and that we find warmth and we find comfort in our labor. And it's intended that way. Matthew 11, verses 28, 29, the Lord Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And He says, take up my yoke and learn of me. You see that picture? It's the same picture. There's comfort there in Christ, in His presence. But also, there's taking up His yoke and learning of Him. And in that labor, there's comfort. And God intends it for our lives. There's significance there. There's the reality of who we are. It is being adorned in His grace when, by faith, we're walking in God's grace in the Christian life and knowing the fullness of all that He's called us to, not fearful because we're insecure in who we are or in what God's abilities are through us, you see, because we as God's people labor striving according to His power, which mightily works within us, right? So what is it that you cannot do? What is it that God has called you to? That God, who before the world chose you and ordained you for His purposes, He chose you for salvation and set you apart through the gospel of Jesus Christ, called you that you might be and might possess the glory of God, the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is it that He left out? Nothing. Nothing. There's nothing that you have come up short with. And you may be sitting there thinking, man, I wish I were smarter. Or man, I wish I were stronger. Or man, I wish I could do this. Or I wish I had that talent. I'd serve God in this way if I had this talent. But God has not left out anything in your life. You are His workmanship, created perfectly for what He knew from before the worlds were created that He called you to do. And there's nothing that He left out of it. And the only thing that hinders us is that true reality of embracing that with God all things are possible. He can and will do whatever He has called you to do. and you can trust in Him and know His greatness and experience the fulfillment and the fullness of all that He has called you to. You are significant because He has called you to the glory of His Son, Jesus Christ. You are secure because He has embraced you in the love of Christ. And so it is that now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. Father in heaven, may we embrace the truth of your word this morning. May it be reality in our lives. May we know the fullness of it. We're significant, God. We're just dust that you breathed life into and redeemed us and called us to your service. But we have our significance in you because you have called us to be your children, given us purpose and meaning. And Lord, may we embrace it and by faith walk in it and know the fullness of it and know all the fullness of coming to the end of our lives at whatever time that might be, knowing that you have fulfilled your purposes, for we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto those good works which you before have ordained, and you have left nothing out of us. And so supply that which is necessary that we might by faith walk with you and trust in you and know the fullness of your glory amongst your people. Adorn us, Lord God, with your grace. We pray in Jesus' name.